Good morning, comrade. You are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This show is called Good Morning, Comrade. Today in the studio, we have Jeff and Aaron and Robert.
Robert is
sleepy, but he does have
a
dog.
Mic check, so.
Yeah, he does have a dog in his lap.
He does, and he's wearing my hoodie.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting to me.
He's wearing, yeah, you didn't go to American University. You're a fraud.
I feel like the prevailing narrative is that women steal men's hoodies, but in our relationship, he stole my hoodie.
How utterly egalitarian of you.
I know. we're living our truth.
Yeah, that's the wokest thing I've seen today.
We're being very woke.
Yeah.
Speaking of hoodies, Petey's wearing one right now.
Petey is
the best dog in the world.
Petey is my dog. He has a hoodie, and we're recording on Monday, and on the back of the hoodie it says Sunday Fun Day. So he's wearing it the next day.
He's a rebel without a cause.
Yeah, he doesn't give a damn what day it says on there. So anyway,
I always have to announce when there's animals in the studio because they bring me so much joy, and I want you all to feel that joy too.
Yeah.
And I think just hearing about a dog in a hoodie, and he's a very adorable dog, and it's a very adorable hoodie. So I just hope that brings you joy too.
Yeah. Petey is definitely a better face for the show than any of us.
All right. Okay. I'm not going to go that
far. Except for you, of course.
Thanks.
But definitely for me, and definitely for Robert, and definitely for Scott.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, Scott, maybe.
Especially Scott.
Not
who's not here today, so
defend himself. My goodness, slander.
Take it. Get so, good. When the cat is away. Anyway, so what's going on, folks?
I don't know. I feel like the world is ending, but it's not actually any worse than it normally is. I'm feeling it a little more intensely.
So why is the world ending this time?
Okay. So from what I understand, it's MMA.
Again? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it's bringing the world down. But to be fair, I'm not quite sure.
What about MMA? What has MMA done this time?
I think it's a toxic masculinity in MMA. Am I correct? I don't know.
There was that one MMA guy that beat up the one that was like a Bernie guy who like knocked out a Trump guy.
that feels great. I like that.
But I mean, other than...
He broke his jaw.
Yeah, broke his jaw, knocked him out, and then he posted like Bernie Sanders and...
God, I don't know.
It was like a MAGA guy, who was like coming to the ring and he got clocked by this other lefty MMA dude. So I don't know. Maybe there is hope for the MMA. I mean, I'm down with it. Like I said, that sort of like transitioned us into where I guess some of our heads are.
Obviously that was a reference to Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
I don't just talk about MMA.
You don't?
No, I don't. I know. Surprise.
I thought you loved MMA.
Surprise. If this is your first episode,
mm-hmm.
I am not a big MMA supporter.
Right. Anyway, Joe Rogan, what's he doing?
I think he's doing better than us numbers-wise on podcasts.
He also does three-hour shows like 4 days a week. So, I mean, he's definitely like putting a lot of time on here.
So... we are, obviously, if you listen to the show, you are probably terminally online, and you know that everybody's very up in arms about Joe Rogan saying that he thinks he's probably going to vote for Bernie Sanders, which is just a ringing endorsement, if I've ever heard one. And now we are all very concerned about Joe Rogan's problematic past.
Why is Joe Rogan problematic?
I mean, he's a white man in America, which is like my general... assumption. He's a bro. I don't know. He has.
Hey, I'm a bro.
Bad takes. Are you? You're a socialist, bro.
That's do I like have bad takes?
I mean, do we want to get into like id poll stuff again? All right, Robert.
Sorry.
He's not dedicated. Not dedicated.
I'm just doing research for the show.
Okay. All right. So Joe Rogan, I actually don't really love Joe Rogan.
Right.
Because he is like very problematic. He is like, but okay. So essentially, everyone is mad because he has, they are saying that he's transphobic, and...
which is not untrue.
It's not, yeah, it's not untrue. I don't know that it's, like, super I think it's like somewhere in the middle, but essentially he was talking about a trans woman fighting in the MMA and essentially saying
Fallon Fox going was to her be, name.
Yes. And essentially she was, you know, the idea is that even though her gender is female, that some of her biology may still be male and that might put cisgendered women at disadvantage if they were to go against her in right. MMA, which I have literally zero. I don't know. Like, right. That feels wrong, but it also, yeah. I don't know. I don't watch fighting. I don't know anything about biology. Right. I like, know that I like probably couldn't beat most men, like most men in a fight, but I also know I've met many men that I could beat. Like, so I don't know.
Present company excluded, obviously.
Yeah, no, obviously. So there was that. And then he's also just said, like, many problematic things. Like, mm-hmm. also, just because he's not, like, he's not a smart man.
Mm-hmm. And his audience does sort of, like, run this gamut of sort of, like, that can essentially be, like, regular, like, working Joe Schmoes, like you and me. And then it can kind of, like, run into these sort of, like, Gamergate crowds. And these sort of like other sort of like kind of like weird eddies on the internet that have been issued. But that's.
I mean, it's just like imagine whatever shock jock you like grew up listening to on your local radio station. And imagine that person just had like 3 hours of uninterrupted sit down with like Noam Chomsky.
Richard Spencer.
Or like.
Oh, he's never had Chomsky on, I don't believe.
He
but
should
he's
have
definitely
Chomsky
had,
on.
He's definitely had. No, he should come on here first.
Yes.
Chomsky's come on here first. I mean, if Joe Rogan wants to come on here, that's cool too. But
Richard Spencer is not welcome.
No, I don't want to talk to Richard Spencer. I'd probably just punch him in the face. But anyway, he does have like horrible people on, like Ben Shapiro, and he does have horrible people on, like Barry Weiss, who push for like these extremely right wing perspectives. Like Barry Weiss writes for the New York Times, which is ridiculous.
The irony of that statement, though, is that. Like, Richard Spencer is from Louisiana, so you actually have...
So is David Duke.
You have the potential to run into Richard Spencer, like, in a Rouse's, like, in a Winn-Dixie. And I don't know what I'd do. Like, I guess I'd just give him the old one, two, well, soft
could,
shoe.
You could spit on him.
Nah, I ain't spitting on dudes. That's nah. It's just, hey, are you so-and-so? Yes, I am. Boom, square up.
That's get real.
Yeah, I'm not spitting
get
on
good.
You. I mean, square it up. I'm gonna give you a
okay,
fight.
So
I'm
here's
a sporting
the problem.
Man, I do like MMA.
Here's the
I'm
issue.
A sporting man, I give you a sporting chance.
Robert, it's not a dichotomy. Okay, you can't. You don't have to choose between one or the other. You can beat the piss out of him and spit on him too.
I think I would probably just give him a very disappointed look.
Oh, like, that probably hurts the most. That probably hurts the most. Anyway, Joe Rogan endorsed Bernie, and Bernie put out an ad saying, Joe Rogan endorsed me.
Yeah, which one of those is sorts such of things. It's problematic because Joe Rogan has millions of listeners in the exact demographic that was lost to Trump previously. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Well, what is that demographic?
I don't actually know, like, the demographics mm-hmm. of Joe Rogan, but, like, the way it's being talked about is disaffected white male voters.
Uh-huh.
Which, from what I understand, voted overwhelmingly for Obama and then went for Trump in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's, like, so funny. There's just been so much on the internet about people who are deeply, deeply upset about this.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't like Joe Rogan. Like, I'm not pleased that we're chatting about him. I would just
well,
prefer
you brought
to...
him up.
Just, I know. I was in my feelings at work today and decided that I was just going to tweet on company time all day. So,
yes.
I've been very much in the discourse. Mm-hmm. So, it's just like so many people who like so many problematic things just talking about their deep disappointment as if they were like planning on voting for a certain candidate.
Yeah. The people that already hated Obama, people that already hated Bernie, like
they did
suddenly...
hate Obama until they didn't. It was
right.
like Hillary,
the Puma
Pumas,
people. Yeah.
Who now
but,
are
like,
very
anyway,
pro Obama.
But there's a lot of these people who like hated Bernie before Joe Rogan decided to endorse him or like not even really endorse. Like, I don't know. But then they're like, well, this just proves how terrible Bernie is, right? It proves how transphobic is he. It's yeah. leading into this.
Well, it's like this weird. It's like they're mad about purity politics, and then they're like pro purity politics, and then they're also like, well, we don't need those voters to win. And I was like, yeah, but it would be like very nice to win the popular vote and the electoral college this time around. So like we might need them.
Well, and that's the thing. Like if you remember the, and again, like I'm not trans. I'm not the target of like some of the fucking horrible things that Joe Rogan has said. However, I do have trans people. I can think of specific people named in mind who I won't name on the air, just for, you know, for reasons of,
we're not
propriety and stuff like that. But there are individuals that I've talked to that basically have the same opinion that while Joe Rogan is extremely like problematic, like what harm is actually done by Joe Rogan endorsing a candidate that is like actually interested in pushing for healthcare for people, like Medicare for All, which would greatly benefit trans folks, and other programs specifically. And he's spoken specifically about there's a lot of critiques of how Bernie talks about these different intersections of identity and things like that, which is fair, I suppose. But at the same time, they are. It kind of gets away from the material argument of what would benefit folks.
So, for instance, this idea that he doesn't care, that Medicare for All would not be beneficial to trans people. So, under the Medicare for All plan as it's written currently, hormone replacement therapy, is fully covered. Gender reaffirming surgery is covered.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen a lot of very disingenuous arguments that because the Medicare for All Act doesn't explicitly repeal the Hyde Amendment, that it's like not good for women's rights. When if you look at the language in the Medicare for All bill, like abortions are covered, they're fully covered. And I think a lot of people on Twitter seem to think the Hyde Amendment is like an actual constitutional amendment, and it's not. So we don't actually like...
It's an amendment to legislation.
It doesn't have to be ratified by the states to repeal. So it's not as big of a barrier as one would think.
Right. And it's really actually scary because that's the one thin thing that actually keeps women's bodily... or people who can have children's bodily autonomy from being completely like outlawed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of... It's arguments that people haven't cared about in the past, haven't worked towards in the past, but are using as it's like that. It's whataboutism. And it's like, okay, we've talked about this before. It's this idea that if you can't do everything perfectly, don't do anything at all. So it's essentially like, okay, yes. Like reproductive rights are in trouble in this country. Medicare for All would be a huge step forward, but people are arguing that it's not good for reproductive rights because there aren't enough abortion clinics in the country. Like as if one act of legislation is supposed to fix all of that. It's like insane.
What really rustled my jimmies like early in the primary cycle when we had like 30 people running all at the same time was when Bernie Sanders had this like completely thought out, you know, I'm not going to promise you anything I can't deliver. Ideas, thoughts about reparations for black people. And everybody was like, oh, Bernie doesn't support reparations.
Right.
And it's like all these people coming out of the woodwork who obviously like who reparations is now their main thing is to make sure that I can get a check for my ancestors being enslaved. Where were y'all, I don't know, forever about this? But all of a sudden, this is super important to you. It's like so disingenuous, and it makes my skin crawl. And the thing about Rogan, like, I almost kind of hate talking about it because I hate even, like, the people on the left are at least, like, progressives who I've seen. They're like, well, I can see where they're, like, Rogan is. No.
You're giving too much lane.
Yeah, don't even engage. These attacks, these ideas are disingenuous about how they can't attack Bernie, so they want to attack Bernie by proxy. And the statement that was put out by Brianna Greyjoy and the Bernie Sanders campaign was perfect. And I'm going to paraphrase. It was like this long, like multi-paragraph thing, but it came down to, we're glad to see him come to, you know, come to our aid and like agree with us on issues, but understand that we will never change our stance. And this is what the things that, you know, Senator Sanders is talking about are rock solid. We're not going to conform to anybody else. It's super cool that people are coming to us though. And that's exactly the 100% correct take to have. And like Joe Rogan is not, and that's the thing. I've been posting, you know, when people are getting upset about this, I was like, let me find out you've been watching CNN, and I'll post a picture of Richard Spencer on CNN, who's had multiple long-form interviews about his views on CNN. And even though they do Weak Sauce Challenge him, they platform him to where, like, so if you're going to put a guy on there who's for, like, racial genocide, and a guy who's, like, as close to objectively evil as we can think of, and then you're going to, like...
No soul in those eyes.
And that's fine. But, like, Joe Rogan is not evil. He's just dumb. He's just dumb. And we can work with dumb. And to be frank, we have to work with dumb.
I'm not so convinced I'm not done. Dumb.
It's also... So we've talked about cancel culture a lot on the show. And this is, you know, another kind of branch of that idea of cancel culture. It's this idea that people have to... In order to be able to affect good change, they have to have all the perfect beliefs and viewpoints and knowledge, when this country has, I mean, our civics education we talked about is awful. Like, we're there, we don't talk about race in any sort of productive way. We don't talk about gender in any sort of productive way. We don't talk about any of these isms productively. And yet we're expecting the people who go out and vote and who we want to be our allies to have good, like, thoughtful, fully formed, you know, takes on things. And it's so odd to me, because Joe Rogan seems like, you know, I don't love his show, like I said, but, you know, he seems like somebody who can learn and who would, if like we had in good faith reached out to him about like, okay, this is why what you said was problematic, maybe would take some of that information in and then change some of his stances. And it's this weird, like, okay, well, you're not welcome and we don't want your vote, which is so, and that's why people end up heading to a person like Trump. We need to kind of,
they need to be a permanent articulation of what an alternative would be, as opposed to like, I'm sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you, but no, you're exactly right. If there's no alternative that feels like it can actually be going towards something and that you can't be a part of, then you're going to sort of like slide into these almost like nihilistic ironic racism or whatever, or nihilistic ironic
it's like, oh, if I don't know any, like, I know some things, I don't know everything, but I'm getting, you know, beat down on the stuff I don't know, I might as well just go somewhere else. Like, if mm-hmm. I can't win no matter what I do, I might as well not try. And I think there's a lot of that feeling among the people who aren't like super online, among the people who maybe don't have access to, like, they just, you know, maybe they didn't go to college, maybe they haven't right. been exposed to other viewpoints, maybe they're working two jobs and they're just tired. It's like, it's, I don't know, it's so funny because it's the most vocal people online who I've seen have been anti this, like, endorsement that's not really an endorsement, because just like saying who you're gonna vote for is not an actual endorsement. It's just like, yeah, I'll probably whatever, but like, so that's another.
But we love sensational stuff in the yeah. press too,
so. No, but it's just, it's like, it's a bunch of, honestly, it's like a bunch of people getting their PhDs talking about how, like, oh, under Boom. This theory or this whatever, and I'm just like, okay, well, like, do you it's have a class any friends issue. Who are not on Twitter, and yeah. also have you talked to a person who's not in academia within the last 6 months, because mm-hmm. people are incredibly problematic, like, so problematic. I am very problematic. Everyone I've met is very problematic. And I'm like, in theory, educated to not be problematic.
Uh-huh.
So other people probably have no chance.
And in theory is perfectly clean. That's the other thing, is that like, one, like any theory, like, and it kind of, you know, as things develop, you know, more and more sort of like nuance gets sort of like thrown into these sort of, you know, theories of the world that we're going to have. But for the most part, it's definitely cleaner than the way real life functions.
Yeah. Right? So for instance, like, okay, Nelson Mandela, cheated on his wife a bunch of times.
So and did like Martin that Luther doesn't King.
Yeah, it's like all yeah. So
who cares?
Well, that's the thing. It's like intersectionality. It's like okay, they weighed on some way and like
no, cancel yeah, MLK.
No, MLK's canceled. you heard it here first. But no, it's this weird thing because
yeah, sure. But where was his respect for women?
Oh Lord, don't cancel us, please. I can't handle it. But there's these like. It's specifically these white women who are getting their PhDs on Twitter who talk about intersectionality and like wokeness in such a specific way. But then when you actually break down what they're saying, they're actually like really, really like putting their own victimization on a pillar. They're like their own like minority status. So it's this idea
almost
where,
not,
like,
not even minority, individual. Like they're speaking for themselves for a group of people, or they're claiming to speak for an entire group of people. But they're just themselves.
Right. And it's like, you know, and when I notice online, like, are the big backlash to, you know, how can you accept the support of Joe Rogan? It's like, again, like Aaron said, it's like cis white people who have never had to deal with a Joe Rogan at work. They've never had to deal with a guy at work who's like says dumb stuff. And there's like racist, sexist, whatever. And you're like, oh, I can't like get on my high horse. I have to work with this person. So let me try to educate them because they think I'm an all right person. So if I just flame them right now and burn that bridge, they're never going to learn. Mm-hmm. But it's like this. I hate to be like SJW person, be like white privilege. It's a very privileged position just to be able to be like, I'm super right, even when you're in the right, and I can just burn all bridges because I don't need to work with anybody else because I'm going to be fine at the end of the day.
And it's not even a race privilege thing, like purely either. I mean, it's economic class privilege. I mean,
and gender privilege. Have you ever talked to a man before?
Not even just that. Like, not even just that. I mean, there are trans folks that are out there that are very upset about this, but they're largely, I mean.
Okay, let's preface that with saying that from the people we've seen on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and that's the thing. That's exactly the thing.
Because I think most people don't actually really care
about this. Nobody gives a crap about this.
So, yeah, it's very, I don't know. While this was all happening,
Bernie became like a 9-point leader in the run-up to Iowa caucuses, which is next week. It's what, 7 days?
Oh my God. Oh my God, it is. It's 7 days.
And that's actually a good time to transition subjects, actually. So we can.
We don't want to talk about Joe Rogan anymore.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
What do you think Joe Rogan's impact on Iowa has been?
Honestly, huge. And that's like the second component of this. I'm being dead serious. The reason why, and you see media heads, like talking heads on TV and on Twitter with blue check marks getting so outraged, is because they feel like, oh, I went to journalism school and I've rubbed shoulders with the right people to get where I'm at. And this like guy who, MMA guy who like gets high on DMT has more pull than me. Honestly, he's more of a kingmaker than Obama. That's why people are like, and I know what you're saying, Aaron, and you're like, oh, it's not really an endorsement, but like, if the Bernie Sanders campaign is doing it right, they're not shying away from it, take it as an endorsement and run with it. Like, don't back down. These people are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to have insincere takes no matter what. So just like that, let them scream and yell. Let them scream and yell all, as they lose more and more power, and as like people on the internet gain more power, as Joe Rogans of the world, who are silly and dumb, who I do want to hear talk about who would win between a fight between a giant penguin and 100 tiny sharks. I do want to hear that discussion, but I don't care about what Joe Rogan says as far as anything important. But if he agrees with me in this point right now, then I'll take it. Like, I'm taking it because I'm trying to, we all in this room and people who are actually on the ground are trying to push the first socialist head of state in American history. So, like, eyes on the prize and all that.
So one thing that we can talk about fights between, we can talk about the fight between Phoebe and Sam.
My cats were going at it.
I think Sam won. So I think in a fight between Phoebe and Sam, I think Sam would win.
Sam is like twice her size at minimum.
You guys, Phoebe is like literally the cutest. Again.
Found a new cat. It's, we could probably find pictures on Instagram, probably. Her.
Maybe. I can't. To be honest, I lost the password to our Instagram, and that's why we have not updated in a while.
Well, you can follow us. Never posting on Instagram.
No, I'm gonna start posting again because there is a lost password option. I just have not chosen it yet.
Okay. And then you can also follow us on Twitter at Comrade Morning. So there's definitely ways to keep in touch with the show. You can also listen and you can also contact us at contact@goodmorningcomrade.com to send us an email, drop us a line, and also do the iTunes thing. So moving forward.
In this episode or in life?
Both. Is it one or the other?
Yes.
But I was just going to go moving forward. So the caucuses.
The caucuses. They're coming up.
Yeah. And Bernie Sanders has a 9-point lead.
Okay. I knock on wood. I don't like jinxing things. But also, I don't know. Caucusing sounds insane. Like, how did that
so stupid.
Happen?
Let's talk about caucusing how, in general. Okay, like, what is caucusing? What is caucusing?
Okay, what do I know about it? I went to American University. What are the caucuses and mountains? I took a class specifically in U.S. presidential elections, circa 2007.
Here
so
we
all sorts
go,
of,
folks. We just teed this up.
Yeah, like, no, I have a lot of knowledge to give to you all. You can partake in my knowledge.
Listen up, folks.
So. Essentially, caucusing is when a bunch of Iowans, so like mostly white people, but apparently some non-white people.
Wow, and that's in this in a state?
In Iowa, okay? People are moving to the Midwest.
It blew my mind there.
They stand in a high school gymnasium, and then they like cluster based on political beliefs, a.k.a. who you're voting for.
Uh-huh.
And then they yell at each other to, like, make them not be supporting that person. And at the end, John Edwards wins. am I right?
Well,
did I get it right?
I don't think he's going to win this time, but I don't know. I haven't watched one of these in a couple of years. I don't think John Edwards is going to win this time.
Okay.
But maybe.
Mistake.
I didn't see how he was polling. I did see that Bernie was up 9 points. But anyway, on the caucusing thing, who has the time for all that stuff? I mean, seriously.
Disaffected white men.
Yeah. So, like, there's probably, I don't know.
Check one for Joe Rogan.
That's true.
No, it is.
They're probably listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, like, with headphones on while they're caucusing.
Also, Robert and I watched a How to Caucus in, like, video from Bernie Sanders' campaign that was, like, in Spanish. Very pro. Very pro. So, who
knows
who's going to be there?
You pro-caucus?
No, I'm very anti-caucus. Like, what is that?
Why is it bad?
This is why we keep having super fucked up candidates. Sorry. Are we Tuesday
This is
show
a Thursday
in,
show.
Thursday show in?
Well... Okay, is it Thursday?
I think we're Thursday showing. I think we're unplugged. I think we're
Robert's having an ulcer over here in our brand new studio chair because we were cursing on the radio, but this one's not going out on the radio.
No, but they can't find you for a podcast.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. The FCC will find you for something. Anyway, so caucusing. Bad.
Yes.
Why?
It's not again, it is very much, it privileges people who don't have shit to do during the day. So that's like not moms who can't afford childcare or dads who can't afford childcare.
Can you bring your kids to the caucus?
To be honest, I have no idea.
Get a
it feels like you
tonight.
Should be able to, but like, I don't know. Either you have
way.
To be able to get to the caucus because according to that video that we watched in Spanish, the doors are... I speak Spanish, but I can't remember the name.
They locked the doors. They just locked the doors.
Yeah. Abierto? No, that's open, maybe? Don't at me. But yes. No, it's terrible.
Please try and speak other language that you don't know either. Also.
Here's my pushback on that, though. This is the only way we get, at least for right now in this country, it's the only way we have ranked choice voting. So that's that like the true. Good thing about caucusing is ranked choice. So you don't have to be like, well, my vote doesn't count. Yeah.
You can do that with instant runoff anyway.
Yeah, but we don't have that anywhere in the country.
Maine does it, actually.
Oh, Maine?
Yeah, Maine.
All right.
And... Oh, Maine. Maine does.
We that's like Maine. The one yeah, state right. that has it. But I'm almost 100% sure that's true. But like that's still 1 out of 50.
Maine definitely has ranked choice because it was a huge issue with their last. Because they had that awful governor for a while. I can't remember why it was awful, but I'm pretty sure he was like a white supremacist.
I think you're actually right about that. Anyway, so back to caucusing. Bad because if you can't get off on a Monday, and I'm guessing it's not a holiday.
It's not. It is in the evening. So I think it starts at 7 p.m. So essentially, if you work a 9 to 5, you can make it.
But if you work at a restaurant or whatever.
Many places aren't 9 to 5. But it is interesting to see what happens this year because I believe that they okayed the mobile caucusing.
What? What is this?
Which they were like talking about having. So essentially like being able to.
This sounds actually bad.
Well, that's the thing. So like they were talking about it. Then it got blocked because there were security concerns. But from what I understand, and I'm going to Google it right now. I also just Googled. I was so close. Close to Serato. Oh my God.
Who got the app contract for this?
Probably Amazon.
Elon Musk, probably.
Oh my God. We can only hope he's so innovative.
Sorry. That's true. It is true.
But it's like so interesting because this, I think.
I'm getting innovated just talking about him.
No, but the caucuses are so interesting because it's honestly like, it's the elite's worst nightmare when you have a type of candidate like Bernie Sanders in.
Yeah.
Because normally it's going to mean, because like the turnout is so low that you can get a, it's whatever candidate has the best name recognition, right? And like, normally that benefits the establishment because it's usually like a vice president or a popular senator right. or whoever. But this time around, it's like a nightmare because now you have all, like, especially now that you have all of these people kind of digging into this, like people who support Bernie Sanders are racist, misogynist, like whatever they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bunch of people. We hope who are now saying like, oh, okay. Well, like I definitely have to caucus. I definitely have to be there because the establishment is going after Bernie.
There's a sense of urgency.
Yeah. And I think that really benefits a candidate like Bernie. Whereas if the first election, like the first primary was going to be something where you just like put a name down and it's not quite much of it, like
which
it's
most
not
states as much of a time.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other candidates would have a lot more like a lot better standing.
Right, because it's a lot more of a time commitment. So it's sort of like this paradoxical, like it's a test of there's kind of a built-in means testing in the sense that like only a certain amount of people can go to these things. But if you have people who are committed because they have like a lot of revotes in this sort of thing mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. So if you have
less than 15%, you just get wiped off the board. So, and like you just say you're eliminated. The 15% that were going to be for like Amy Klobuchar or whatever.
The Klob Lobs.
Yeah. The Klob.
Klob Bros.
The Klob Slobs. They have to like pick somebody else because they're loser. Lost.
So it's kind of a little. I mean, it's a little back and forthy. It's like a mm-hmm. little. It kind of reminds me of when I was like.
Slobs.
It's so rude. It reminds me of one of those like cattle auctions. It's like, hey, come on over here for Biden. We got over to Bernie over here.
There's
it's
like organizing that happens on the floor.
It sounds so stressful to me.
You know, that sounds actually. So I don't know how much that took place at the convention, Robert, because they didn't have a second full vote, right? But was there on the floor organizing at all that took place? No. Yeah, I didn't think so. And there was like I've done some like reading about some of the stuff that happened in some of these like contested convention. There was a lot of like trying to like you know jockey voters to like or delegates
like
to come on
and
do
the
thing.
From what I understand, but from what Robert's told me, because Robert was a delegate
for
the he was a delegate, but he was a delegate specifically on the platform committee.
Mm-hmm.
So he did go to Philadelphia, but his main purpose was to go to Orlando. Yeah. And every state had two delegates. So one was from the Hillary camp, one was from Bernie.
For the platform committee. Sorry.
Yeah, we definitely had a whip for the platform committee.
And who was it?
This guy, I don't want to say his name because he's like a...
That's fine.
He's
That's
a
fine.
Young guy who means well, but like he's a young guy who means well, but he's like a Biden stan. He just wanted a job in the Louisiana Democratic Party.
Oh,
I can't.
He probably got one.
Well, he did. He did. But whatever. A lot of like centrists did that because, you know, that was the irony is the Democratic Party's so closed that a lot of these centrists saw their way in is through an end around through Bernie,
yeah.
who didn't have the connections to get a job with their state party. And that's what this
Interesting.
Guy did. So congrats off to him.
He might be a clob slob now.
No, he's fine.
Well, yeah. But from what I understand, from what at least from what Robert told me, because I think this is when G-Chat was still a thing and we were G-Chatting while he was like doing the whole platform thing. There Ooh. Was a lot of back and forth and there was a lot of like corralling and there was a lot of trying to sway people to your side.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of that in the platform
and
part. But as far as like mm-hmm. by the time the convention happened.
Like the full vote for the I guess that
there
was
wasn't
one
like
that,
a
like,
brokered convention.
It. Yeah. But anyway, in the caucuses, there's some of that as well, because there's revoting and different like outcomes take place.
Yes. And I did look it up, and it turns out Microsoft is hosting that platform.
Oh.
So I can't think of a single issue that would ever happen. I mean, I didn't get locked out of my email 3 times today. That didn't happen. So everything's going to go great. I'm feeling really good about this. Just optimistic. Optimism.
Yeah. You press the Bernie Sanders button and it's almost like the Simpsons episode when you like you press the vote for this person and it just registers as vote for the other guy.
I know. The hanging chads.
Yeah. Oh gosh. God, this country guy does have a pretty like messed up history of elections.
God, what was I reading the other day? But there were like some international body was like gonna come in to monitor elections they're like not free and fair.
Man.
And I was like, yeah, no, I see that.
Yeah, there's no way the U.S. would recognize it because they never recognize it under any other circumstances internationally. So
like
why would they start now with our
like
own country?
Us in South Sudan, like, no, it's fine. We promise.
the U.S. is like notorious, and that's a really great point to go. I mean, like, and I'm kind of like just riffing here and playing a little bit of jazz, but like the U.S. obsesses over elections internally. But when it comes to elections abroad, they don't give a fuck about them.
We care so deeply. It's like
about local elections.
No, we care very deeply about elections abroad to the point that we'll send the CIA. Like Pete Buttigieg has definitely been to like El Salvador at least once, right? I mean, we know this. We care very deeply about elections in other countries. We like
or like Morales and what was that?
In Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
Evo Morales
was like, he won the first like ballot of an election and the U.S. is like, you know, we're pulling the trigger.
Like,
we're getting them out of here.
You fought.
Yeah. Gotcha. This is the coup.
Yeah. Oh God. I remember. Honestly.
So much for your bullshit election. Don't even count those votes. Don't even bother.
No, I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. That might be one of my, I have like many moments that I'm like, is that when I got woke? But honestly, the moment I think I actually got woke was I took a class in the Caribbean diaspora in college
Ooh.
That was taught by a white lady, and learned about Haiti. And I was like,
oh my God, everything
cool.
since like,
cool.
Well, 1790.
Just to be honest, it was a long time ago.
Until today, like every time, like so the Haitian Revolution is
Haitian Revolution was the world's largest slave and most successful slave revolt. Like
correct,
we stand, like we
correct.
Love the Haitian Revolution. But then essentially Thomas Jefferson was like, no, thank you.
Yeah, U.S. foreign policy.
We're just not gonna like work with you.
Yeah, U.S. foreign policy for the last 250 some years has been basically to not recognize any government that's duly elected by the people of Haiti,
except for
the Duvaliers, or not even just them.
Close
it goes
personal
to before
friends with the Clintons.
It goes to before that, like long before that, they would recognize all kinds of or they would create all kinds of havoc and have strong men come in. It's a real sort of history. Actually, a really good. Documentation of that is the Revolutions podcast on by Mike Duncan. We should probably get him on a show.
We should. Come on the show.
I don't know if you ever listened to that. He's doing the Russian Revolution right now.
Oh, and my God. I'm obsessed with the Russian Revolution.
He basically said that he's going to be working on that for the next like year and a half. So check that out.
I feel like it's going to happen in my lifetime that someone running for the Democratic nominee is going to actually be Anastasia. And I'm going to be
She's dead.
Oh, my God. Not even.
Never.
It might be Elizabeth Warren.
I didn't even want to go there where my mind went initially.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of history. America's not that great, except when it comes to the Olympics.
Well, so turning it around, if you haven't listened to Tuesday's show, there are great components to U.S. history, though. And if you listen to our episode from this past Tuesday, you'll hear Harvey Kay talking about his book, Take Hold of Our History, Make America Radical Again. And the idea behind that is that there is a certain amount of radicalism that's sort of instilled in U.S. history that's all either sort of like forgotten or appropriated in a certain amount of senses from the right wing. To sort of like freeze out the left, and he kind of focuses in folks on like Thomas Paine and Abraham Lincoln and FDR specifically, and he's a big Bernie guy now too. So as day of recording,
so he's really misogynistic.
Yes, of course. He I can't even say this. I can keep a straight face. I wonder if he would call Joe Rogan.
Honestly, Joe Rogan sounds like a great place to go. I mean, I would love the chance to talk to that many bros and discuss, like, all of the great radical history of the U.S. and, like, how fucking sick it is. Like, and I, like, I, okay, it's one of those things that, what is it? It was a James Baldwin quote, like, I love America and that's why I reserve the right to criticize her in perpetuity. I'm paraphrasing. But mm-hmm. I love this country. I love being American. I could mm-hmm. not be from another country. And I feel like we've talked about this in a past episode, but I just like, I have a lot of family in Ireland. And I also like, not to brag, but I travel to Europe like fairly frequently and to South America. And it's definitely gotten I've gotten feedback multiple times that, oh, we knew you were American. Like, by your general like demeanor. And I'm not, and like it's never been meant as an insult, and I also totally understand what they mean. It's like this weird like optimism that it's like the American dream, which we all know is like been sold to us to
fantasy.
It's like a fantasy, yeah, but like it is a thing. Like we really do have this view of upward mobility that a lot of other countries don't have,
even though the reality is not there.
But it's like it's also not there. That's mm-hmm. the thing. Like it's this optimism. It's like it's a patriotism that I think a lot of other countries don't have. Like I feel like there's no problem with me being as critical of the U.S. with also being as patriotic as I am. Like those things like go hand in hand to me. It's because like I believe so deeply in this country and the people in this country that mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, do better. Like, yeah. Do better.
And it's like, not about like the flag or whatever or like any like, of that it's stuff. It's about people.
It is about the people. And that's one of the reasons why like I like Bernie so much. And it's
he's
not
all
because,
about
like,
democratizing and empowering people.
But it's not even about Bernie. Like, I like Bernie just because, like, I really like grumpy old men. Like, I just love them. Like, all of my favorite clients are grumpy old men. Like, love them.
Have you ever seen the movie Grumpy Old Men?
I haven't. But
what
I
about
a
Grumpier
lot of,
Old Men?
I have not seen any of... I feel like there's four. And I have not
I
seen
thought
a
there
single
was only
one
two.
Of them.
Anyway.
But it's...
You love grumpy old men.
Okay, so,
but
like,
not the movie.
I would love him anyway, but it's not about him. It's about this, like... movement. It's about this a whole bunch of people realizing that they matter,
right.
And that they have AOC power and that
them.
They like, you know, that they there's no reason why they can't participate in our democracy in the same way as someone who is right. like college educated, who is Ivy League educated or anything else. Mm. And that's, I mean, that's like one of the reasons I sometimes like worry about like, oh God, I love him. I love a grumpy old man. But like we talked about before, like, you know, he doesn't always say things super eloquently. Like, he's not the best on identity politics. And that's sure. not He doesn't have to be.
How could he possibly expect a 79-year-old man who basically
78.
Okay, whatever. He only ever talks about like what, like how to work with working people, like all the time. Like he wakes up doing that and he goes to sleep doing it. I can imagine him like brushing his teeth and talking about taking down the millionaires and billionaires.
It's like, okay, that's his lane. And honestly, we need a lane like that. Our economy's like super fucked right now. But he has like intentionally surrounded himself with people who have different viewpoints and are better at him, like that, at that. So it's so interesting to me that he gets targeted without like a single acknowledgement for the people who he surrounded himself with. But then also, like,
who's targeting him?
Oh, like centrists.
And what do they represent?
It's not even MAGA. That's so. Mm-hmm. It's like funny because like. It's centrist. It's like, it's K-High for Joe.
It's literally Hillary Clinton.
It is.
Let's talk about that. Hillary Clinton up to?
Oh my God. Like still being married to someone who's been credibly accused of sexual assault four times.
And we talked about, speak about somebody transphobic, by the way.
Oh my God. Hillary Clinton. I just hate her so much. And I hate her for valid reasons, not because I'm like a gender traitor. So thanks everybody. She said that she feels like there are legitimate issues, like cis women have legitimate like issues with trans women,
right?
Because like a safety problem to have like, so essentially for those of you who are lucky enough to have never encountered a TERF, which is a trans exclusionary radical feminist, which I hate that I know that. it's essentially this idea that trans women are men who are trying to illicitly gain access to female spaces, which is insane. Like, if you believe that, please stop believing that. That's incorrect.
And a lot of times it's cloaked in like academic jargon or whatever.
Yeah, it's all of the worst parts of identity politics. Just
and faux intellectualism.
Yes, it's a lot of people who also hate Meghan Markle for no reason. They say it's not racial.
I just hate royals.
Just assume that if someone is a TERF, they also hate Meghan Markle. Like, that's just like a good.
But if you hate Meghan Markle, assumption. It's not because you're a TERF.
No, it is because you're a TERF.
Oh.
Jeff, I'm doing some deep soul searching.
Anyway, so we got way afield because we were talking about Hillary Clinton. What is she doing? What's going on with her? Why are we talking about her?
She's going on talk shows, talking about TERF shit. She's going on Howard Stern, talking about butter. Did she talk about butter? Do I remember that correctly?
Well, she said some specific things about Bernie Sanders, too.
It was like Bernie Sanders and butter. Or am I totally making this up? What did she say?
Did she call Bernie Sanders a butterface?
Butter.
I hope she did. Honestly, I would have a lot more respect for her, but in my head, that interview had something to do about butter, but I feel
I remember specifically, the thing that I took away with it is that she said that like nobody likes Bernie, everybody hates Bernie, Bernie should go eat worms.
That was in her documentary. I feel like she said something else about Bernie Howard Stern... Oh, they wanted free chocolate milk.
That was a couple months ago.
But anyway, they're like, oh, all Bernie Sanders supporters want free chocolate milk. And I was just kind of like, hey, Howard Stern, remember that time that you like definitely exploited a bunch of mentally ill people and got paid a lot of money for it? That was really cool. We love that. Let's talk more about how Joe Rogan's problematic.
Hillary Clinton intervened in the primary.
Oh, yeah. So she's apparently doing a documentary because we're all clamoring for that and going to be on Netflix. Probably going to win a bunch of awards. Oh, my God. I hope it's Hulu.
It is Hulu.
Oh, yes. At any rate, she...
Hulu famous for the New York Times endorsement television series.
Oh, Hulu is famous for me watching reruns of 90 Day Fiancé. So that's what Hulu is famous in
that's
my household
for. Better than the
for.
New York Times.
I didn't know that was Hulu. What a nightmare. What a fucking nightmare that was. We don't have time for that. But at any rate, she is doing a documentary for Hulu. Apparently, she was interviewed back in 2018. or maybe early 2019, who knows at this point, her feelings of Bernie Sanders, and her feelings were that nobody likes him, which like is objectively untrue.
And that she that Bernie took her campaign down and ruined her chances in the general election, even though
which is like why she lost to Trump.
He did 40 campaign stops for Hillary Clinton.
But yeah, this was recorded so long ago, and just someone found that footage this past week, which was so just conveniently timed. But then it turns out no one actually likes Hillary Clinton.
Oh, boom. Big turnaround.
Which is it's a problem for her. I don't think I could be disliked at the same scale as her. Like, to be honest, I have respect for her in that she still feels okay going into public, because if I get one mean reply to any of my tweets, I'm like, oh my meltdown. God, I need to reevaluate everything I've ever thought. And she's like, nope, I lost to Donald Trump.
I'm gonna post
but I'm
it.
Still, you know what the people still want to hear? My unfiltered, unvarnished viewpoint.
So I do appreciate the philosophy that I do agree with as well, which is to never stop posting. That's the
never,
one. That's the
never
one.
Never stop.
That's
posting.
The one thing I can get with, and the thing that one of those, while I disagree with what you say, I do respect the fact that you're posting it.
Yes,
you're never going to stop.
So she came out. She said no one likes Bernie Sanders. The reply was just a bunch of pictures of her with Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein. And then she was like,
LOL, Trump
just
too.
Kidding.
Donald Trump, too.
I thought you guys wanted to hear my opinions.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to support him.
LOL.
And then...
Pokemon Go, fuck yourself.
And then we all just felt good about the state of politics in the U.S.
So, yeah.
I've been, yeah, no, it's not good, the state of politics in the U.S. It's not good. Not good.
Bernie's up 9 in Iowa.
So, we also, that does make me feel good. Okay, fine. Cool.
Elizabeth Warren just crashed and burned after she shot her shot at Bernie.
I know.
And it's just
God,
down in flames.
It's so hard for her, and she's making me look stupid, and I don't love that for myself. Warren, you could have been a contender.
Well, you could have been a contender.
Also, love to see the fact that the worst part about Amy Klobuchar lobbying staplers at her staff members is the inability to keep good staff, because if you're good at your job, you don't have to get staplers thrown at your head, but if you're bad at your job, then you get what you get.
If you're good at your job, why are you working for Amy Klobuchar?
No, that was essentially, they were the New York Times was well, that might be problematic for her keeping good staff. And I was yeah, no, that's the only problematic part of that. Cool.
I love that analysis, actually. It's it's so brazenly like the problem isn't that you're doing horrible things to people.
No, that
the problem
is
that you're
gonna
run good people, people who are extremely good at their jobs away, and so they're not gonna want to work for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do about the well-being of the people unless they're really good at their job.
Survival
of the fittest shit.
It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But that's second wave feminism. It's yes, queen, abuse those employees any man would.
It's yeah.
We stand.
Yeah. I guess that's why Amy's awesome. That's why that's the one reason I can get behind Amy.
I mean, oh my God. The whole thing.
Yeah.
The one thing I can say about her, she's never pretended to be Native American and also doesn't seem to have a brain bleed. So that's cool. She's already better than two people.
She's got, yeah, well.
Did she ever price fix bread? Because, if she never did that, then she's really, it's my second choice.
I'm not there, but I see where you're coming from.
Marianne Williamson, has she officially dropped out?
Yeah, she dropped out a little bit ago.
She was my actual second choice.
She fired all of her staff and tried to keep the campaign going, but it just couldn't stay. They didn't have enough steam.
No, I think she could have kept it going. She could have kept it going.
Delaney's
still in, so he's still an option.
Deadlift Delaney.
And then there's that guy that who I promptly forgot about, but definitely is still in the running.
Michael
Patrick
Bennett.
Duvall?
Duvall Patrick. He's a former, I think he was the governor of Massachusetts. Trying to Bigfoot Warren, I think, but he's an absolute Bain Capital vulture.
He's still in, though.
Ugh.
Which I feel like is
him and Bloomberg are basically the same person.
Except, give or take a million, billion dollars.
Deval Patrick's pretty goddamn rich.
Is he a billionaire?
I would not be surprised if he was.
I would be.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you can listen to Good Morning Comrade Tuesdays. Sometimes on Thursdays. Who knows?
Sometimes.
Yeah, every time. All the time. You can listen on WHIV LP New Orleans on Tuesdays, 8 a.m. You can also check us out online at goodmorningcomrade.com. So thank you for listening. Love you. Bye.